You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. And I want to thank Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne in their absence for entrusting me with this weighty responsibility of hearing from God and bringing his message to you, because I don't believe that these are my words, but that is God's words spoken for you for this specific time and specific place in your life. So, Father God, we come before you, Lord God. We anoint our ears so that we may hear what your spirit is saying to us. We anoint our minds, Lord God, so that we may understand what your spirit is saying to us. We anoint our hearts so that we may receive what your spirit is saying to us today. Amen. Does everybody have their cell phones? Everybody has their cell phones with them? Can everybody take out their cell phones? Ushers, I'm going to need your help. I need you to collect everybody's cell phone. Collect everybody's cell phone. I'm just joking. I'm joking. Mr. Nat was like, I don't want anybody trying to cut me, try to take their cell phones. But I did that to prove a point of how attached we've become to our cell phones. You know, if the early inventors of the telephone, who came up with that technology to transmit sound waves over wires, and now we're wireless, I'm sure that they could not even fathom or even imagine that. And on top of that, hey, Dorothy, on top of that, it's not, we don't just use it to communicate. We use it to do just about everything. We have pictures stored in there when that newborn baby is born, and we share it on social media. If we didn't have our phones, we couldn't take that picture. We have emails stored on there. I got too many emails stored on there. We have text messages. You know that first text message he sent you when he was like, I love you. And you're like, I'm going to save that. And that last one you sent him when you cursed him out and broke up with him. Don't act like y'all don't curse. Y'all know somebody make you bad, just say a bad word. But thank God our tongues have been delivered, healed, and set free. We have our lives on our phones, my sermon notes on my phone, so God forbid something happens to our phone. We lose it. The battery won't charge. The screen is cracked. Something happens to it. We can't lose it. We can't use it. We feel disconnected from our lives. And so all of that has happened to me, including dropping my phone in the toilet. The phone has been through a lot of stuff. And so when something happens to our phone, we have to call technical support, right? Got to call up technical support. And they try a lot of things, none of which work. And then they were like, we have to reset your phone to the manufacturer's default settings. And I'm like, no, but my life is on this phone. When is the last time you backed up your phone, ma'am? August 2014. So, okay, you're going to lose everything. And you're like, I don't want to lose everything. I don't want to lose my life as I know it. And we're afraid and we're scared to lose our lives as we know it. But losing our lives as we know it is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Matter of fact, it's a very good thing to be restored to the manufacturer's default settings. Our manufacturer, everybody knows our manufacturer, God, he has a default setting for us that he restores us to. In the original factory, which was the Garden of Eden, where the first man was created, shaped, and formed, I believe that that first man, Adam, was perfect. And you might say, no, nobody's perfect. I believe that Adam was created perfect. Before sin infiltrated his operating system, his OS, if you have an iPhone, your iOS, but in this case, your GOS, your God operating system. Before sin infiltrated his operating system, Adam was perfect. God said in Genesis 1, 31, that he looked at everything that he created and he said that it was very good. So after God created man, created Adam, he looked at him and he said, you're very good. Good physically, good mentally, good emotionally, and good spiritually. Made in God's image and likeness. Adam did not have to put on the mind of Christ Jesus. His uncorrupted mind was the mind of Christ Jesus, made in the image and likeness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. His heart did not have pain, did not have hurt, did not have disappointment, did not have greed, did not have pride. It was good. It was perfect. His physical man was perfect. No sickness, no disease. Adam innately knew his purpose. He was not running it down. He was not chasing after it. He knew it. How? Because God came down to converse with Adam face to face in the cool of the day. In Genesis 1:28, God said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. To subdue the earth and have dominion over it was Adam's manifested destiny. And he knew that from day one. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God restores us to the manufacturer's default settings. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that in Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, we are a new creation. What was Adam when God created him? In the beginning, he was a new creation. So God is restoring us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God is restoring us to that new creation just as Adam was in the beginning. So we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God restores us as a new creation, and he looks at us and he says, it is very good. You are very good. The rest of 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that all old things are passed away. So God looks at you. This is you. He looks at you and he says, this app, don't need that, delete. This app, delete. This app, delete. These text messages, words people have spoken over you that don't line up with God, what God says about you, delete. These pictures, images of your past, delete, delete, delete. You're restored to the manufacturer's default settings. Amen. The dictionary defines restore as to bring back or put back in its original state. So you're being put back in your original state as God created and intended you to be before sin and the fall of man. And he looks at you as that new creation and he says, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're very good. Good. So right now you're probably thinking, come on, Minister Candy, it can't be that easy. There's a process that we have to go through. Well, I really think that it is that easy. With God, nothing is difficult. Everything is easy with God. When the three men came to Abraham and Sarah, and they were talking to Abraham, and they were telling him that him and his wife, a year from then, they were going to have a baby. Sarah's in the back listening, and as y'all all know, she laughed. She laughed. She was like, I'm 89. My husband is 90. And you coming in here talking some, we going to have a baby by this time next year? She did not only laugh. She rolled her eyes, and she sucked her teeth. She said, why y'all didn't come here 30, 40 years ago when I was able to have a kid? How come you just come in here now? And God spoke a word to Sarah. And he said, is there anything too difficult for me? God restoring you is not difficult. There's nothing too difficult for God. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter who you've been in the past. God is restoring you to the manufacturer's default setting. And our community group, who's here from my community group? Can my community group stand up? Stand up, my community group, these faithful, right now, women. They come every Sunday night. If you're not in a community group, get plugged in. Amen. That was a plug. That was a flaw. So we're studying Joe Naughton. Joe Naughton has been here before. We're studying Joe Naughton's book. Yes. Plug in, Heal for Life in December. Plug, plug. So we're studying her book, Lifting the Mask. And in her book, she talks about the Shulamite woman and her relationship with King Solomon. And in the book of Song of Solomon, that's where it's found, that book has 8 chapters. And in the 8 chapters of that book, 12 times, the king, Solomon, he tells her that she's beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Somebody told me I'm beautiful, y'all would not be able to talk to me. I would be here acting like I have a sash and a crown. Wait, I already act like I have a sash and a crown on. What am I talking about? But every time he tells her that she is beautiful, she brings up her past hurts, her scars, and her faults every single time. And sometimes we're just like that. When God tells us that we're delivered, that we're healed, that we're set free, we keep reminding God of our past like that's something that he can't deliver us from. Jo also says in her book that facts must submit to the truth. Facts must submit to the truth. Facts are that in life we all go through crap. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say crap, but Pastor Josh not here, so we go through crap. We go through stuff. We go through abandonment. We go through rejection. We go through grief. We go through substance dependency. We go through stuff. But the stuff that we go through must submit to the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we've been recreated, we've been made a new creation, we've been reset to the manufacturer's default settings. The truth is that these things don't define us. Only God can define us, and he defines us as sons and daughters. And so we should not let them confine us to the past and to the old man. When the enemy reminds us of who we are, it's confining us to who we used to be. When he reminds you of who you used to be, you remind him of who God says that you are. So let's look at the Apostle Paul and his conversion on the road to Damascus. So I'm going to put things into perspective. Some may not know about Paul before he became Paul when he was Saul the Pharisee. So Paul, I'm going to call him Saul. Saul, he was a Pharisee. His father was a Pharisee. So that means that all that he's known all his life was being a Pharisee. So he was in this thing deep. Okay, so when the Pharisees were conspiring to kill Jesus and eventually did murder him, Saul was in that. He was right there. He was all that was his homeboys. They was in there conspiring to kill Jesus. Jesus called out the Pharisees every chance that he got. So they didn't like him. Obviously, they killed him. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, "You're like a whitewashed tomb. You're beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of bones and filth." He said, you Pharisees are running around here judging who's going to go to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven when you yourselves are locked out of heaven. So they hated Jesus. Saul probably thought that Jesus was a crazy false prophet that deserved to die. That's what they all thought. And he also thought that anybody that was following him was also crazy and deserved to die. So that's why he was going to Damascus to arrest some Christians, because he was like, we're going to arrest them. We're going to throw them in jail. We're going to have some trumped up charges. We're going to have some fake trial, and we're going to hang them on the cross just like we did their master. So this is who met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Some of you may be familiar with the story. Some of you might not be familiar with the story. Hey, Rhonda. Some of you may not be familiar with the story, but I like to tell stories, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell it. So Saul is headed to Damascus to go and arrest some Christians. And on the way, a bright light shines. He's riding on his horse. The horse rears up and throws him to the ground. I wish I had like background music and some dramatic background music. And he falls to the ground. And from the light, a voice comes and says, "Saul, why are you persecuting?" I wish my voice was deeper too. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, who are you, Lord? Is Jesus who you are persecuting? And Saul says, well, what do you want me to do? He says, well, you go on ahead to Damascus, and says, well, where you were going in the first place. You go to Straight Street, go to Judas's house, and wait there for instructions. So Saul, he tries to get up. He realizes that he was blind. Now, his blindness, his physical blindness, was just an outward manifestation of his spiritual state, because he was always blind. And God was going to restore his sight physically and spiritually. So his friends, his homeboys, they help him over to Damascus, to Straight Street, to Judas's house. And Saul is in there praying. And he's praying, you know, to God, because he believes in God. It's just this Jesus person that he doesn't believe in. And God tells him that Ananias is going to come and pray for him and restore his sight. At the same time, God is speaking to Ananias, because that's how God rolls. So at the same time, he's speaking to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I need you to go to Straight Street, to Judas's house, and I need you to pray for Saul and restore his sight, Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, Saul of who? Saul of Tarsus? That's the Pharisee that's throwing people in jail? Usually how this works, I wait for them to come get me and throw me in the lion's den. I do not walk up to the lion's den and jump in it. God says, no, you got to go. I have a work for Saul to do. So Ananias is obedient, and he goes, and he prays for Saul, and Saul's eyesight is restored. And he can see physically, but he also can now see spiritually. He stays for some time in Damascus with the Christians there, and then he starts preaching. His ministry starts immediately. Saul didn't go through a long process. This didn't take a whole bunch of time for this to happen. Saul was restored to the manufacturer's default settings. God gave him a new name. He's now Paul, and he's now about his Father's business. He becomes a new creation, because as God has shared with Ananias, that God had an assignment for Saul, now Paul, for Paul, and that was to preach the gospel to foreigners, leaders, and kings. And this wasn't something that God just came up with on the fly, like, oh yeah, I'm going to get that to him to do. This is something that God had purposed for him to do before the foundation of the earth was set. That was God's original purpose for Paul. As he was living all those years as a Pharisee, he was outside of God's purpose because he was contaminated by sin. So now God is restoring him, making him a new creation, and placing him back in his purpose. So how did this happen? How did this happen for Saul? It was because he believed. He believed. He had an encounter with the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. He had an encounter with the truth, and he believed the truth, and the truth set him free. So when he was writing that epistle to the church at Corinth and saying that in Christ you're a new creation, it wasn't something that he was just writing. It was his testimony. He was like, I used to be that guy that was running around arresting Christians. That's who I used to be before I met Jesus. But now in Jesus, I'm a new creation, and that man has passed away. That man is dead, and I'm not resurrecting him. It was his testimony. And he was saying that if God can do it for me, surely he has to do it for you too. So Paul, he did a lot of horrible things, as we said, you know, but I don't see in scripture anywhere when he's moonwalking into his past. And I wish I could moonwalk so that I could be like, he's not moonwalking into his past, you know, saying, oh, I arrested all those Christians. I was there when they stoned Stephen. I shouldn't be in ministry. I'm not worthy. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. He's saying that is passed away, and I'm new, and I'm sure, I am positive that the enemy came to him whispering that, because he does it to everybody. That's his job. And he's relentless with it. He is relentless. The enemy was like, how are you up here telling people to go follow Jesus when last month you were persecuting them? What are you doing? And you know what Paul did? He turned around and he said, oh, wait, that man is dead. He's not coming back. In Christ, I'm a new creation. So devil, you could have several seats. Thank you kindly. We could also look at the woman with the alabaster box who came to Jesus, and she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And they were in the house of another Pharisee. His name was Simon. And Simon's standing there thinking, how could Jesus allow this sinful, immoral woman to touch him? He doesn't know who she is. Jesus did know who she was. He knew that she was a daughter, that she had been reset to the manufacturer's default settings, that she had been restored, that, that all her had died. And so he said about her, wherever the gospel is preached, that you will be remembered because you're a daughter. You're no longer that sinful, immoral woman. When the devil calls you by your old name, Don't answer. I have a very unique name. It only has 5 letters. However, people have difficulty pronouncing it. And when people call me by the Kendra, Kennedy, all kinds of stuff, I don't answer because it's not my name. So when a devil calls you sinner, not my name. Can't call me that anymore. I'm not answering to it. I'm daughter. I'm son of God. This is who I am. That's what I answer to. If you want my attention, call me by my name. The bridge that takes you from who you used to be to who you are intended to be, back to who you're intended to be, is faith. It is your belief. It is the only thing that is required of us for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's what the Bible says we should do to be saved. And we receive that free gift of salvation. And yes, we're saved from death, hell, and the grave. And that's what we're saved from. But what are we saved to? Jesus said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And a lot of times we minimalize that to just mean, you know, financial abundance. But abundant life is so much more than a big bank account. I take the big bank account, but it's so much more than a big bank account. It includes joy. John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy and so that your joy will be the fullest joy possible. It includes peace. John 14:27 says, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. What about health? Abundant life should include health also. 3 John 2 says, I wish it above all else that you be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. The abundant life includes wholeness. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood, that she reset her thinking. And she thought, if I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. She believed it. She had faith. She did it. But I started to think about it. And I said, why did a woman who was sick, infirm for 12 years, think, if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole? Why didn't she think, if I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I would be healed? Because with her sickness, her particular sickness, her particular illness, there came rejection, there came abandonment, there came shame, and there was brokenness. If you go back in the Old Testament, you can read about the laws about women who bled, and she was bleeding for 12 years. So her family had rejected her. She was an outcast. And she knew that if she could get close enough to God's presence, if she could just get in God's presence, that he didn't have to speak a word to her, that he didn't have to touch her. If she could just get in God's presence, that she would be made whole. Joy, peace, healing, wholeness is all available to us now. What was the word last week? Now. Now. It's available now. It's not, you don't have to go through a process. You don't have to sprint, run a race, turn around 12 times, do any of that stuff. It's available to us now. And I know it sounds easy, but it happened to Saul. It happened for the woman with the alabaster box. It happened with the woman with the issue of blood. Remember that the battle on which we wage against the enemy, the battlefield on which we wage war against the enemy is our mind. So this is where the enemy is going to battle us. And our battle is against our faith. It's against our belief. So we must continuously and constantly put on the mind of Christ Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to change our thoughts about ourselves. We must cast down every thought and vain imagination that would try to exalt itself above God, who God says you are. Cast down everything that tries to exalt itself above the truth. If it's not God, it's of the devil. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's not the truth. That's it. It's plain and simple. If it's not in the word of God, if God hasn't spoken it over your life, it's not the truth. I don't even care if it's a fact. It's not the truth. So how do we cast down these thoughts? We cast down a lie by exalting the truth. You cast down a lie by exalting the truth. You know, we like to rebuke and bind, and we can rebuke and bind stuff all we want. But we have to lift up the truth. I'd rather lift up Jesus. You know, when the devil comes and says, what you going back to school for? You are 38 years old. I just said, man. You are 38 years old. I'm not going back to school, though. What you going back to school for? He said, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, you got a backache, chronic backache. You're going to have that backache all your life. No, I'm not. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. You exalt the truth. It doesn't matter how you feel. How you feel is not the truth. The word of God is the truth. What you think is not the truth. The word of God is the truth. What's happening in your life is not the truth. The word of God is the truth. So we have to exalt the truth to cast down a lie. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were restored to your original state. The moment that God, that you accepted, God restored you. Now, how long that takes in happening is based upon your belief. You could believe it now and walk in it now. You could believe it later and walk in it later. But it is now. He has already made you a new creation, just like Adam. And he is looking at you and he's saying that you're good just the way that you are. Just the way that you are. When the devil comes and he tries to tell you that you're not good enough, that, oh, you're a woman, or, oh, you're a man, or, oh, you're too tall. Or, he's always going to say something. That's not the truth. The truth is that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. When he tries to remind you of your past and what happened in the past, do not resurrect the old man. That's something that does not need resurrection power. No, keep him dead. Don't let the devil define you. He'll taunt you. He'll taunt you. Be like, you think you're a Christian. Look at you. You think you're a Christian. Going to church every Sunday. Look at you. You're going to be in the club next week. Say, no, devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. I am a child of God. No matter how many times you fall, you stumble, just get back up. Just get back up. Just get back up. You know, you might stumble. You might get a penalty and lose some yardage, but don't get out the game. The only way that you lose is if you get out the game. We already know the result. The result is that we win. So the devil wants to take us out the games, because if he can take us out the game, he can stop us from winning. So we have to stay in the game. Fight the good fight. Every day is a battle. Every day he's going to come at you. That's why we put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We take up the shield of faith. We take up the shield of faith. That's how we renew ourselves to that original state. When he comes with lies, fiery darts, you take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to chop down every lie that the enemy comes at you with. You take that sword and you cut his head off and you put your foot on his neck. We are in a war. We are in a battle. You living in your purpose is dependent on other people living in their purpose. Because if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, Marielle can't do what she's supposed to do. We're all connected in the body of Christ Jesus. That's why we have to know who we are in the kingdom. We are here to rule, to reign, and to have dominion. You are a child of the King. You are royalty, and I joke about it, but I'm serious. I'm a queen. Look at my crown. You're a king. Look at your crown. Wear it. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know that you know that you know. Know that like you know your name. Know like you know your birthday. Know like you like chicken wings. You know, those things don't change. You know it. You know it. When some, it's not like, are you a Christian? I'm not sure. God loves me. He loves you. You're accepted in the beloved. You're a new creation, and he wants to use you in the earth. The earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's time for us to manifest Jesus. It's time for us to manifest power and authority. We sang earlier, how great is our God? How does the world know how great is our God if we're not manifesting Jesus? If we're not manifesting that greatness, the only God that they're going to see is the God inside of you. So we have to manifest Christ Jesus wherever we go. We can't be sick. If I'm sick, I can't be doing my Father's business. If I have hurt in my heart, I can't love my sister. I have to know who I am. I have to know that I've been restored to the manufacturer's default settings. Some of you in here, you know, this morning might not have been restored to the manufacturer's default settings because you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But God wants to place you back to that original intent and purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for you before the foundation of the earth was set. He had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you that he wants to reveal to you, that he wants to take away all the guck. He wants to delete all those apps, all those things that people spoken over you that's not the truth. He wants to remove all of that. So if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and has not been reset to the manufacturer's default settings, I'll ask you to raise your hands. I'll ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll ask you to raise your hands. He wants to use you. He wants you on that path of righteousness for his name's sake. So for those who've not accepted, who've not been restored, I'd ask everybody to repeat them, and we'll repeat along with you this prayer. Father God, we come before you thanking you that you've restored us to our original purpose. We accept you as your Lord and Savior, and we walk in our new identity as sons and daughters. We thank you for making us new. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who have been restored, God has already restored you, and it's a matter of belief and walking in that purpose. I just want to make a declaration over you that, Father God, that you don't have to repeat, I'm just going to speak over you. Father God, that we're walking in our divine destiny and our divine purpose, Lord God, that our steps are ordered by you, that we're on your path of righteousness for your name's sake, Father God, that we stand, Lord God, with one another, united, Lord God, as Hope United, one body, Heavenly Father, Lord God, to do the work of Christ Jesus, Lord God. We come against every trap, every pitfall, every delay of the enemy, and we cancel it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We release our angels ahead of us, Lord God, to war on behalf, Lord God, of the purposes and promises that you've spoken over us, Lord God, that this is our year of manifested destiny, Lord God, that, Lord God, that your promises will be fulfilled, Lord God, and we give you praise, honor, and thanks for it right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.